Picture this. It is 5:45 in the morning. You unzip your tent, and there it is, 3 feet from your face, your airplane, dewy wingtip, tie down still on, and just beyond it, across the grass. Another aircraft and another rows of them all the way down to the tree line, fabric birds and aluminum home builds and a cub that someone flew in from Ohio sitting right there on the lawn like it always belonged. This is Tripletree Aerodrome in Woodruff, South Carolina. And if you have never been here, I genuinely feel bad for you. But I also feel excited because today I get to be the one to tell you about it. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check on Radio Hangar. And we are going to talk about the most special piece of grass in the American Southeast. Before I get into it, a quick word from the people who made today possible. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. If you flew into a place like Tripletree and you want something to commemorate it, these are the people. Aviation Challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up, mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story, aviationsoul.com. Now, Tripletree Aerodrome is a private grass strip about 50 miles southeast of Greenville, right in the heart of upstate South Carolina. The field identifier is Sierra Charlie Zero, and once a year it becomes the center of the universe for the experimental aviation community in the southeast, and honestly, well beyond that. The Tripletree fly-in draws builders, pilots, dreamers, and some of the most interesting airplanes you will ever see gathered in one place. And I want to be clear about what this is not. This is not a big glossy air show with a paid announcer and a fence between you and the aircraft. There is no fence, there is no announcer with a script and a headset. This is different, this is personal. You fly in on grass, you tie down on grass, you sleep on grass. Your airplane is your neighbor for the entire weekend. That is the thing about Tripletree that gets me every single time, the intimacy of it. When I rolled in on final, I was watching the trees on the approach end, watching the windsock, just breathing through it. Because landing on grass when you're used to pavement is a different conversation entirely. The ground comes up softer, but it also comes up faster in your mind. You're reading the surface, you're thinking about where the soft spots might be, and then you touch down and the wheels sink just a little into that beautiful South Carolina turf, and you're rolling, 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 and the grass is hissing under the tires, and the whole airport smells like summer camp and abgas and something I can only describe as, right? You taxi to your spot, they marshal you in, and then you shut down and you're home for the weekend. The camping layout is the thing that makes this place unlike any other event I have covered. Aircraft park in rows and your tent goes right next to your airplane. I'm not speaking in metaphors here. I'm talking about 6 feet of separation. You crawl out in the morning and you do your pre-flight before you have had your first cup of coffee. You touch the cowling and it is cold from the night and you think, yeah, okay, this is the life. And the community that forms around those rows of aircraft happens fast. Within an hour of landing on Friday, I knew the names of every pilot within 100 feet of my tie down spot. You help somebody stake a tent in the wind and you have a friend. You loan somebody a ground anchor and suddenly you're invited to dinner. There's a rhythm to how this community assembles itself and it happens organically out on the grass the way it must have happened at county fairgrounds and open fields 100 years ago when the barnstormers were doing the same thing. The people who show up at Tripletree are a specific kind of aviation person. These are the builders, the weekend wrench turners, the folks who spent 8 years assembling an RV7 in their garage and then flew it 1,000 miles to come sleep next to it in South Carolina. You meet them at the food vendors in the evening or at the fuel truck in the morning. And every single conversation starts with, what do you fly and somehow leads to the most fascinating place you have ever been? I sat down next to a fellow from Tennessee named Gary at a picnic table on the first evening, and he started telling me about his kit box. Not what it cost, not how fast it goes. He started telling me about the day he first fired up the engine in his driveway with his daughter sitting in the front seat. She was 7 years old when he broke ground on the project. She was 17 when it flew. He got choked up telling that story, and I nearly did too. That is Tripletree. That is the kind of conversation this place produces. The grass runway itself is about 2,400 feet, and I want to be honest with you, it is not for every airplane or every pilot. You want to know your numbers, know your aircraft's performance, know what a soft field looks like and feels like from both ends of the experience, before you point your nose at a strip with trees at both ends. The folks who run the event are upfront about that. There's a reason the pilots you see rolling in all weekend are people who know their machines deeply. But the arrivals are something else. I spent Friday afternoon in a camp chair near the threshold just watching experimental aircraft you have never seen before. Home builds with canard configurations and pusher props and paint schemes that somebody had strong opinions about. A glacier that came over the trees in a perfect slip and planted itself like it had been landing here for years. A pedipole air camper, wooden airframe, fabric wings, floating in like it was made of something lighter than air, and then this absolutely stunning Whitman tailwind that had me out of my chair. I'm not kidding, I was out of my chair. The variety is everything at an event like this. You will see aircraft that you have only ever seen in a magazine or in a forum post from some builder's thread that you found at midnight and then read for 3 hours, and then there it is in front of you, tied down in the grass, and the guy who built it is standing right next to it, and he is happy to show you every rivet. A fellow named Mike had his RV9 set up under a shade canopy near the fuel area, and he had the engine cowling pulled, and he was willing to talk to anyone who walked up about his oil cooling setup for 2 hours to whoever wanted to know. That is not a performance. That is the culture of the experimental aviation community at its best. The idea that knowledge belongs to the builder community and hoarding it serves nobody. The EAA, the Experimental Aircraft Association, built its entire identity on that principle, and Tripletree feels like the pure expression of it. Nobody is showing off. Everybody is showing everybody else. There is a difference, and it matters. Saturday evening is the heart of the whole thing. The sun goes down over those South Carolina pines, and somebody has a campfire going, and somebody else has a camp stove, and there's food happening everywhere. The event has vendors doing breakfast biscuits and barbecue, but the real meals happen at camp. A family from Georgia invited me to dinner Saturday night, beef stew made the night before and reheated over a propane burner, and it was one of the best meals I have eaten in a long time. The company made it, the setting made it, sitting on the grass with a bowl of stew and a dozen different conversations happening around you, somebody arguing about the best spark plug for a Lycoming, somebody else describing a really exciting approach into a strip in western North Carolina and the stars coming out over South Carolina above all of it. I talked to one couple, both rated pilots who have been coming to Tripletree for 9 consecutive years. They fly in from Virginia in their van's RV8. Same camping spot, same neighbors, almost every year. Their kids grew up coming to this event. Their oldest is about to solo. She learned what an airplane was by waking up next to one every September since she could walk. If that does not tell you what this place is, I do not know what will. Sunday morning comes with its own kind of quiet. People start breaking down camp slowly. There's no rush, but there's a sadness to it, the way there always is at the end of something good. You fold up your tent and you strap down your gear and you do your run up next to your campsite, and then you taxi out onto that grass. And you go to full power and the strip falls away beneath you and you're climbing out over the trees. And you're already thinking about next year. Tripletree is not Oshkosh. It is not sun and fun. It is not trying to be either of those things. It is smaller and quieter and more personal. The aircraft are closer, the conversations run longer, and the sky over Woodruff, South Carolina, on a September evening is the color of something you're going to carry with you for a long time. If you fly experimental, if you're a home builder, if you have been working on a project for a decade and you need to be reminded why you started, put Tripletree on your list. If you fly a certificated aircraft and you have never landed on grass, go get some soft field practice and then put it on your list anyway. For event information, the EAA chapters in the Carolinas are a good starting point, and Tripletree Aerodrome has historically posted fly-in details through its own channels. Do your homework on the approach before you go and talk to somebody who has been there more at radiohangar.com. I'm Ramp. I'll see you on the grass.